Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Did you have a chance to talk to Chicago?
I've had a chance to talk to him. I talked to him in the Senior Bowl. I talked to him.
How are those meetings going for you?
They're great. They're great. I think a lot of their core pillars as a team align with everything that I believe in as well. And I've had really good conversations with them. I hope things continue to go in the future.
In Chicago, they're known for the peanut punch, right? And you had 13 forced fumbles in your career, 7 last year. Can you talk about how you were able to master that technique?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with practice and preparation. I think there has to be a purpose to take the ball away. Everything you do should be wanting to take the ball. You shouldn't want to be on your heels as a defense. You should be attacking, trying to take that ball away.
That was Jacob Rodriguez talking to the media at the Combine, not only about his conversations with the Chicago Bears, but perfecting the peanut punch, something that is being taught now to everyone. How incredible to be Peanut Tillman, to revolutionize a game that's already what some feel has reached the depths of as much as it, like, come on, think about it. You got a whole... It's going to be like Devin. I think about Devin Hester and how, no one's going to be able to duplicate his successes because, the rules of kickoffs have changed. And when you're thinking about the peanut punch, there is that rule that you're not, like, if you punch the hands, it could be a penalty, or punch the arms, it could be a penalty. But that's so subjective, right? Like, what was intentional? What wasn't? And so you can see a world in a couple of years where the peanut punch gets deactivated, where people are like, it becomes an illegal move. Could you see? I know you're shaking your head over there. Tyler Ferengar producing today. Could you see that happening where they do that?
I personally do not see a chance where that gets outlawed. Just me.
I mean, again, because the punch is violent. You know what I mean? If you know what it's going to take? It's going to take like some star player, star running back getting their hand broken or something like that. They're getting their forearm fractured.
Get better at aiming for the ball then, I guess.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Bijan, they're saying people are punching people just to punch them now. So, like, Bijan Robinson. Yeah. Yeah, we want people to follow the rules in the NFL.
I don't know. I'm a believer in integrity. And if that's the case, then shame on those people.
Yeah, shame on you.
Shame on them, says Baby T.
Oh, yeah, get them. So with that being said, Peanut Tillman's punch and Jacob Rodriguez, the linebacking core, to be very fair, is going to look significantly different next year. As are a lot of positions for the Chicago Bears, right? The wide receiver room might look different with no DJ Moore if, in fact, he gets moved on from. Then, of course, the running back room, are they going to move on from DeAndre Swift? He's made it known that he wants to stay here. Isn't it interesting? You haven't had that sort of narrative surrounding the Chicago Bears for the last couple of seasons where players are like, yeah, no, I want to be here. You haven't heard that. Kevin Byard came out and said it. DeAndre Swift came out and said it. You didn't hear DJ Moore say it necessarily. But you hear people talk about the city because it feels different when they're winning. You even heard, can you pull up, Baby T, can you pull up the clip of Caleb Williams talking with Max Crosby about how he didn't know how crazy Chicago was for sport or for the Bears. Like, he knew it was a football team. He's like, yeah, but you guys don't understand. He's like, it's crazy. He's like, oh, when he tells a story about driving down, on a game day or the night before game day and the skylines lit up blue and orange. Like, that was surprising to him. And us as Chicagoans were like, what? Hell, it better. What else? What other color are you going to light up the skyline the day of the Bears playoffs? Every building better be blue and orange. Take a listen to Caleb Williams talking about this.
Did you know, like, you're going into a sports town already when you came in and got drafted by Chicago? Did you expect that, though? I had chills through the TV. I got to be honest.
I didn't exactly know what it was going to be like. To be honest, it's pretty crazy in Chicago. Yeah. They really do love football out there. It's mm-hmm. it's one of the first things that somebody told me. I don't remember who told me, but somebody told me that they've had the Bulls, they've had the Cubs, they've had White Sox, they've had all these teams win championships, and Bulls obviously went on a run and. But the 85 Bears and that group of winning and going to playoffs and all of that was a bear city. And I didn't realize it until probably this year, to be honest with you. When you started winning and the people around the city, you're driving into the city at night on off days or anything like that, or game days, or whatever case may be, in the night before the game. And the whole city, like the skyline, is like blue and orange.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is.
Yeah, it's sick, man. I appreciate everybody from the Bears, but also the fans. They've made this experience and job.
Yeah,
just unbelievable.
Caleb Williams talking on the Max Crosby podcast, just about Chicago. It's funny, man. When we're from here, so we don't. It's natural. It's normal to hear even Max Crosby say that, right? Like, oh, damn, skyline? That's crazy. I'm like, what? It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because it's not like the strip is going to be lit up black and gray on a Saturday before the game starts, because the strip is its own entity.
And I was going to say, what if the Raiders really had to smile about in his tenure?
That's what I'm saying.
The one playoff game where they lost.
And the Raiders fans go crazy. Like, they go crazy.
Black Hole is a pretty passionate fan base.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
in Oakland, though.
They're not, they ain't no Chicago Bears, I'll tell you that.
Nowhere near.
Have you been? I went to Oakland when I went to go, speaking of road trips. So I went to San Francisco to go watch the Bears play the Niners, that second to last game of the season.
Holy shootout.
Holy amazing was that was. And one, it was the first time we'd ever gotten booed at a road game. That was the first time. I could tell that story in a second. But we went to Oakland, too. And Oakland, it's small, very small. It's one of those towns. This is the other thing, too. When you travel as a Chicagoan and you go to other cities and they're like, you're like, dude, where should we go? And they're like, oh, Lincoln Street. You got to go to Lincoln Street. And you're like, what's Lincoln Street? It's like, oh, it's the street with all the bars. And that's when I start, I try not to trash other cities, but that's when I start to do it. Like, that's the biggest difference. You go to, any mid-major city, and there's just a district of bars. Like, oh, yeah, you got to go to Front Street. All the bars are there. And it's like Chicago has 20 Front Streets throughout the city. So it's just, you get messed up. Anyways, the only time I got booed, in San Fran, we were being so unobnoxious as Bears fans, cheering so loudly after a touchdown. We were singing Bear Down Chicago Bears, and then we're like, let's go Bears. And there were so many people around us, not in my group in particular. There was only like 12 of us, but there was like 10 people in front of us, 10 people behind us that were Bears fans. So our group got the let's go Bears so loud that other Bears fans nearby heard it, and then they chimed in too. So there was like this let's go Bears chorus, and it got so loud that the Niners had to start booing us.
This wasn't that.
Boo! Just like, keep talking.
No, I was going to say, this reminds me of one of my good buddies. He went to the University of Illinois, went up to Camp Randall for Illinois Wisconsin football game, and at Camp Randall Stadium, he got a Green Bay sucks. Green Bay sucks.
You can find people to get along.
How about that?
You can get
at Camp Randall.
I got to be honest. I'm not a fan of the Green Bay sucks at other sporting events, because it means that we're just thinking about them too much.
But I think like in their territory, that's where I think it's funny.
Yeah, no, that's fun. You're right. This adds a different element. You're right. You're absolutely right. Different, completely different thing.
Unfortunately, I got killed that game. That
day. Yeah, it's like when I'm watching a Bulls game and it's like Green Bay sucks, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I am trying to watch Josh Giddey have a triple-double here. Yeah.
Bears-Packers, absolutely. Bring it
all day. Bears-Packers all day. But when I'm at a Cubs game and they're playing the St. Louis Cardinals and they try to start a Green Bay sucks chant. It's not my jam over there. All right, I'm going to give an update on the Bear Stadium situation. I feel like, obviously, a lot of people and a lot of moving parts today. Not going to be, we'll be playing Cam Buckner a little bit later. David Hall and Clay Harbor got a chance to talk to him. But here's what's happening, because it is getting real when it comes to this saga. And I think we as the public can kind of feel the pressure, the walls closing in on not only the Chicago Bears, but Illinois and the state of Indiana. Because Illinois is definitely trying to keep the Bears with their tax policy lever, right? What they've been trying to do today. And then Indiana, what did they do? They put an entire stadium finance framework in the books. And that's what we've been looking at and hearing for the most part, is Indiana trying to push through something. So let's start with Illinois. So House Bill 910, this is what we've been hearing about, the mega projects bill, the big vehicle that is meant, and you've heard Governor Pritzker and Representative Buckner both mention it, that this is something for private entities, not just the Chicago Bears, but any big company, private entity that wants to operate in the state of Illinois. And it basically is Springfield saying, listen, we're not going to cut you some big stadium check, right? But we can make your life a little bit easier. And that's what Governor Pritzker has been saying. It's what the Illinois politicians are saying. So the way it's being pushed through is that it's an amendment that gives the state, through the DCEO, the ability to certify a mega project, right? That's what the Bears are doing. So that the developer, in this case, the Bears, they get a building materials tax break, which is what they want, meaning exemptions from certain state and local taxes on materials that get incorporated into the project, which is obviously, if anybody's done renovation on a home, taxes add up. If you're buying $10,000 and you're paying 10%, that's $1,000 on the taxes. That's a lot of money. And when you're talking about millions and billions, that's a lot more money. So they're trying to save dollars there. And you're talking about steel, concrete, all of those things go into building the facility. And Illinois is looking for some sort of politically survivable way to say, like, we helped. And this is the way to do it with the big projects bill, right? Without calling it some sort of direct subsidy for billionaires, because that's a bad word in politics. And so HB 910, it's also about property tax predictability. You've heard that a lot. The Bears are like, bro, we just want to know how much money we're going to be paying in taxes. You can't even get us that. You can't even get us to step one. So the whole thing essentially is being framed as letting somebody big like the Bears or whatever, you know, big company wants to come into Illinois, and it allows them to negotiate terms with the city that they're going into, their local governments, instead of getting hit with like regular assets and increases, right? So the Bears get to talk to Arlington Heights. And supporters of the whole thing say it's different because when you're landing the mega project deal, you want these kinds of certainties and you want to give these incentives for them to go to these respective suburbs. So where is it at right now? Right? Because that's what we're all curious about. Representative Buckner talked about with Clay Harbor and David Hall that it was going to be going to the floor. So as of February 27th, it has not passed all the way. Right? It cleared the committee itself that continues to bring it forward 13-7, but the House didn't make the final vote on it. So they come back into session, I believe it's like mid-March, March 16th or something like that. So the Illinois legislature has been pushed to them. It's passed to a certain degree where it's now gone into the next step. But then after the House, they got to go to the Senate. So there's a lot of things there. So Illinois is in the stage of, you know, we're close, we got momentum, we're negotiating, but nothing is locked in yet. And even Representative Buckner said he's talked to the Bears more in the past week than he has his wife. So clearly there is momentum and, I don't know, the desire to get things done. All right, so let's go over to Indiana. Because Indiana didn't do the maybe. Indiana didn't do the, we're into the next step. Indiana is diving in the deep end. No floaties. They're trying to get things done. So Indiana SB 27, which is now SEA 27, was signed into law on February 26th, and it creates the Northwest Indiana Stadium Authority, which essentially is the structure you need if you want to build, finance, or operate anything in Indiana, specifically in Hammond. And so Indiana's like, hey, Papa, we are open for business. We are ready whenever you are. And then the part that matters, right? How do they pay for it? So SB 27 set up financing lanes with real situations for people, and it allows Lake County and Porter County to adopt a 1% food and beverage tax. And this is what Governor Pritzker was talking about when he's like, the state of Indiana has no idea that they're going to be the ones that the taxpayers are going to be paying it when they leverage these increased taxes. So a 1% food and beverage tax, and that money can be used to support the state in financing. It also includes a move to double Lake County's innkeeper tax from 5% to 10%. So hotel stays get more expensive. So if you're doing your little staycation where Jimmy and Becky were able to go play in the pool at the, I don't know, Comfort Inn or something like that, that just got more expensive. And then Hammond gets the authority to impose a 12% admissions tax on tickets at a big venue, meaning people that are going to the events, you're paying a little bit extra for that. So what is the contrast between the two? Illinois, still trying to get their stuff together, still trying to figure out what it is the mega project bill could look like, because even when it gets, like, even if it passes in the House, when it gets to the Senate, that's when they're going to carve it up. You talk about real state senators that are looking about the constituents and trying to get their hands and somehow connect their platforms to this bill. And so whereas Indiana already created the authority and the revenue tools, Illinois still is trying to get there. And that's where things are heating up, right? Because the Bears just don't want a stadium. They want a stadium where the math is going to work for them. And where, while Illinois is still arguing over the math, Indiana's sitting there like, what's up? What's up, baby girl? You know, when you ever walk in, maybe you never have, but you ever walk into a house, you either walk in or you've been walked in on, where, you know, you tell the girl you're dating, if you're single and dating, and you're like, hey, be naked when I get there. That's what Indiana is right now. The Bears are like, hey, when I show up, you know what time it is.
Hotel room, something like that.
Don't whisper it when you say it like that, though, baby T.
That was a whisper?
He said, hotel room, yeah.
Hotel room.
Yeah, that's what you did. That's what you did. Yes, Indiana is in
the hotel room, ready to go. I know how to switch my voice up like that.
They're like, I left you a key downstairs. And that's it. That's how that works.
Room 314.
And Illinois is like, you text Illinois, you're like, you know, the Bears text Illinois, you up? And the Bears just kind of left them on red.
Just the letter U?
Yeah.
You up?
You up, one question mark. The Bears text them at 8 in the morning like, hey, my bad, I fell asleep last night. Or Illinois, sorry. Illinois is like, my bad, I fell asleep last night. And the Bears like, I got Indiana sitting there sending me naked pictures. And I got the Bears talking about some, I fell asleep on you last night. This is what's going on. Putting this into real terms. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. This is what you could do at 1 in the morning. Have sexy talk, but put it in the form of Indiana and Illinois state legislature. It's great.
But yet it makes sense in a way.
But yet it makes sense. My night owls understand what I'm saying. Where are my night owls at? 312-644-6767. It's, I know we were angry a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like now it's kind of waned. Because as a Chicagoan and as a fan, I feel like we won. I feel like we won. The fight's over. Like, we punked you, and you thought, like, you can see what's, am I wrong here? I'm curious. I need you to call in here. Am I wrong? Am I too confident in this, thinking that the Bears, it's a done deal? Like, are you convinced too? Like, you know it's there, or are you still hesitant to just go ahead and say that? Because I've been saying it wherever. I've been telling anybody, listen, guys, these are pointless conversations. The Bears are not, or excuse me, Illinois is not going to let the Bears walk away. And so that's what I'm feeling in the present, and that's what you guys should be thinking too.
I definitely feel like if the Bears were moving to Indiana, it would have already been announced.
Yeah,
that whole ruling last Thursday, when they passed that bill saying, let's get this stadium, and the Bears did not officially agree to the deal and held off that meeting with Springfield. Yeah. It was totally
baby
more
T, this
leverage.
Is what it is. This is what it is.
Leverage, leverage, leverage.
Indiana posted a picture with the Bears and trying to make it official. And the Bears were like, the Bears commented under the picture and said, besties, you know what I'm saying? Indiana tried to put a provocative picture up of the Bears and Indiana. That's what Indiana did. They posted it up. They said, we brought the bill. And the Bears were like, I love hanging out with my friends. They didn't want to make it official. They didn't want to make it official, guys. And then Illinois came and was like, what'd you say? What? Get over here, baby girl. This is my boo. It's a struggle. For those of you that followed along with that little example, kudos to you. You just made the score younger. That's because you guys rocked with that. Text messages coming in right now. 847 says, Jerron Dexter is the Bears' version of Patrick Williams. Hasn't lived up to the thought of his potential. It's a good one. Jerron Dexter. I mean, his bar was low. All he had to do was beat out Zach Pickens. How bad is it that you draft two defensive tackles, one of them isn't on your team anymore, and the other one hasn't even lived up to the hype? So, like, you're Jerron Dexter. You're better than your counterpart, but yet you're still not as good as the Bears thought you were going to be. I think Jerron Dexter's fine. A rotation piece is what you need in those situations. All right. Phone lines are open again. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Live and local on the Bears Zone. This is the beauty of this shift, is that if you're up right now, you're riding around the city, and maybe you don't get a chance to get in on the lines too often. You got thoughts. This is the time to do it. We're asking tons of questions today. You know, are the Bears going to get the defense right next year? What do the Bears need to do to be Super Bowl contenders? I feel like they're almost there. Get a stadium. When is the stadium going to be done? When will the Bears have a new stadium? Who cares if it's in Indiana or in Illinois? We are in 2026. What do you say, 2030, Tyler? 2030 is when you'll be stepping foot into a new stadium?
Well, consider the fact that the Chiefs deal got announced end of 2025, and they put the estimation date is 2031.
2031?
That was the estimation date. And that deal is done, signed, official.
6 years?
I'm saying the Bears will be playing at Soldier Field into the next decade, at least through 2030.
No.
Because think about it, Gabe. Think of that gigantic, and I don't know, I'm assuming the land that they have in Arlington Heights is bigger than where the Chiefs are, because I sort of know what that area is. Arlington Heights, that area is massive. That area is massive. There's going to be a lot of stuff down there. That's going to take a while to build. I don't think they're going to finish everything by the time the stadium is ready. That's my point.
I heard Dustin, who, by the way...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're going
to
say.
Handing this off to Dustin Rhodes at 5 o'clock with the pregame show. And then today, it's David Haw and Zach Zabin again?
David and Zach.
Zach Zabin. And he mentioned that the Chicago White Sox should move out to Arlington Heights with the Bears. And I love it. I love it.
Was not expecting to hear that from you, Gabe.
I know.
What about the whole South Side narrative?
Well, I'm a North Sider, first of all. Born and raised on the North Side of Chicago.
I know, but you're a South Side fan.
Exactly. South Side fan. Don't mind going to the South Side to watch the White Sox play. Zero problems with that whatsoever. I think for me, as a Sox fan, I try to think about, like, what could change the narrative of my Chicago White Sox, right? And I think if you have a team in the city that is the Cubs, and you put, you know, you were to move the Sox to Arlington Heights, then you create this opportunity for this new fan base, because you give them easy access to your product. And being in Arlington Heights, by Des Plaines, by Arlington Heights, by, you know, Elgin, St. Charles, Naperville, like all those Deerfield, all those burbs in those areas, they're going to be more inclined to go to a Sox game than they are to drive into the city and have to deal with the Wrigleyville nightmare. Now, granted, you're going to have your Cubs fans that are diehards that are going to get there no matter what. But your Wednesday day games, your Saturday day games, Sunday day games, like when you're just looking for a family outing, more eyes on the White Sox, I don't know. Again, it's not what I want for – that's me being selfish would be to keep them on the south side on 35th and Shields. But when I'm thinking about my team being bigger and better, if Justin Ishbia wants to go ahead and build a stadium by Arlington Heights next to the Chicago Bears where there's already this built-in district that's going to be there, I'm here for it. I know that maybe that I don't think that sounds wild to me, but I'm here for it. Put the Sox in Arlington Heights. Send them out there. The Chicago White Sox of Arlington Heights. The Chicago Heights Sox. No, that doesn't.
I just am still trying to comprehend hearing that thought from you. I didn't think you'd approve of it.
If I'm okay with the Bears going to Arlington Heights, I got to be okay with my White Sox going out there. New stadium. Again, it's about how am I raising the profile of the Chicago White Sox. The city's already split, and it's in favor of the Cubs because of years of broadcasts on WGN. And so putting the White Sox out in Arlington Heights, I don't know. I kind of like it. I don't hate it. I'll tell you that. And that's how I operate. It's either I love it or I don't hate it. I do love phone calls, though. So let's take one more. 312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phones. We got Angelo out in Wheeling. See, Angelo would benefit for the White Sox being out there in Arlington Heights.
Gabe, what's up, man? How we doing?
What's up, brother? You a night owl or nah?
Yeah, man. I'm actually an electrician, so I have a vested interest in what's going to happen with this stadium because I'm trying to make sure we got union workers out in Cook County, not in Indiana.
That's true, Angelo. And you know that if anything happens of the sorts, that union is going to go crazy if they lose out on all them jobs.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I don't show up to the union meetings usually, but I'll be at that one if it gets announced in Indiana. So basically, I just want to say, man, Arlington Heights, I think I've been pretty in lockstep with you that that's where they're going to end up. It has seemed like Indiana has made a strong push, but I feel like it's a very – oh, my bad. I feel like it's a very move made so that they can get some leverage, but – I just want to see him come out to Arlington Heights, man. Like, let's get this done. I thought all the government meetings were done today, and this is supposed to be settled. But
what? Talk to me about the timeline of your emotions, Angelo. I feel like Bears fans, having to deal with this psychologically, like it hasn't been the same feeling throughout the entire process. Like maybe there was one point where you might have been feeling one thing, then feeling another, and maybe now in the present you're feeling something else. What has that been like for you? Take me through your emotional timeline.
My emotional timeline was I was at that Rams game at Soldier Field.
Damn.
And damn sure I want the stadium to stay in the city if at all possible, but that doesn't seem realistic at this point. So I'd rather, as opposed to us go across state lines, stay in Illinois. And man, I'm ready for the great football that we got coming up. And I wish this wasn't such a thing that was hanging over us as much as it is right now.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Like I just want to be happy about the Bears. Can I celebrate the 11 wins? Can I talk about Caleb Williams and his growth? Like, why am I talking about a stadium and the mismanagement of direction of the Chicago Bears? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I got to discuss that? Like, why can't the adults in the room just come to a conclusion and be like, yeah, this is where it is. Now let's focus on some football.
Exactly. And I know you, Gabe, I appreciate you being on for Mully. I think it was this past Monday and Tuesday or last week, whatever it was. Honestly, you were great with Haw, and I know that you kind of said that you were tired of this and he wasn't really having it, but I think a majority of the people in that are Bears fans are in the same position that you are, man. Let's just get this done with.
Of course.
It's a tired conversation, and realistically, why are we making it about Indiana? Let's make it about Chicago, Illinois. Let's just get this done.
It's the pride,
and if it's not, then it's an entire conversation.
Yeah, it's the pride and joy of Illinois. This is what we do know. And I think, you know, the people that are suffering the most, you know, because George McCaskey could come on this radio station and be like, oh, Gabe, we're suffering. We can't get this job done. There's so many hurdles. And I'd be like, yo, George, we're the ones that are suffering. The fans. The fans are the ones, because we have to wait more years to get to be able to go into a brand new stadium. We got to try to stay alive for 4 years so I can watch the Bears play in the new. It's kind of like, you know, it's like when you leave high school. And then all of a sudden they get the new gymnasium, right? They get the new lunchroom. And you're like, damn, why didn't you fix this when I was here? And I don't want to feel like that about my Bears. I don't want to be in heaven looking down and watching Caleb Williams win a Super Bowl in a new stadium. And I'm like, damn, you couldn't have did that while I was down there. You gotta, you know, and it's like we're the ones that are suffering as a result of it. And I don't think everyone I think that's where we're at now though, Angelo, where the suffering has come to a point where now it's you know, public opinion is swelling. It is a tidal wave, and nobody wants to feel the wrath of that wave, and so people are trying to make bigger moves. I mean, look at you've heard J.B. Pritzker talk more in the last week than you had in the last 4 months, because he understands that public opinion is not necessarily on his side, but is in agreement with the state of Illinois. That's what you're seeing.
Hey, but he did stand strong on that. He said, I'm not going to be strong-armed, which I understand. At the end of the day, man, I think you were saying about Kansas City and saying 2031, yeah. 6 years. That's crazy. I think it would be a lot sooner than that because, you know, we like to get stuff done here in Illinois. So I think that's just the best move, and I appreciate you taking my call, Gabe. You're the best, man. I wish you were on the score more, and thank you for taking the time to listen to what I had to say, man.
Of course. Appreciate it. Shout-out to Angelo. Shout-out to all the union workers out there. We got a great union squad in the state of Illinois, so we got to make sure we hire locally, man. And Angelo, slide in my DMs because I might need an electrician for my house that I'm fixing. I might need some handyman work on that thing. But Angelo brings up a great point, right? The stadium will get done much faster in Illinois. You know why? Because we got harder workers. Harder workers. Yes, Indiana. I guarantee you, you try to put up a building in Indiana, you try to put up a building in Illinois, in Chicago, one's going to go up faster here. Why? Because we got better workers. I say this all the time. Baby T, I say this all the time before we go to break. I say, if they're building in Chicago, right? Right? If you go, like Kevin Warren, when he first got to Chicago, he was like, we need to see cranes in the air. That was my least favorite statement, by the way. Cranes in the air. Yeah, we're not going to have as many cranes as Tampa Bay because that's an underdeveloped city. We got freaking 9 million people here. You can't. Anyways, cranes in the sky. It's what you want to see. And I always say, well, if everybody's building at the same time, everybody can't have the A-team. Think about that. Let that settle in for a second. Angelo, I would have loved for you to talk to me about this one. If I got 5 projects going on in the city at the same time, and they're all union work, every team can't be the A team. There we go. You're picking up what I'm putting down now. So what I'm saying is being built in the city, like there are some C teams building important things right now because the A teams are all sewed up. Now, imagine if you go to Indiana. Not trying to throw shade, but I am. I know we're not comparing the construction crews in Indiana to Illinois. Are they good in Indiana? Absolutely. You got A teams, but I bet you there's not as many A teams. You see what I did there? There's more A teams in Chicago. Anyway, that was my plug for the union right there. All right, where are my union workers at? Where are my overnighters? Where are my third shifters? Where are my night owls? Phone lines are open. When you're thinking about this Bears team, so many different directions. I mean, you're talking about the stadium. You're talking about this Bears defense, the draft, Bears being Super Bowl contenders. All are on the line right now for you. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. Your phone call's next. Pick up the lines. It's 104.3 The Score.
And one of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the...
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want the Chicago Bears to stay in Chicago or stay in the state of Illinois. And right now it looks like the choice is going to be between Arlington Heights and Indiana for them. But I also, you know, I was a businessman before I was governor. And I can tell you, because I've been involved with a lot of business deals over the years, that I'm not going to be shaken down.
J.B. Pritzker. Flexing his Illinois guns. Which is weird because he's a Democrat. See what I did there? Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Phone lines are open 312-644-6767. And, of course, the stadium saga for the Bears is continuing. And, you know, I said this a long time ago. I should keep my rants. Like, I realized I've been a lot more over the last 6 to 8 months than I have been in quite some time. And I think that with J.B. Pritzker is no different. I said, this is from the very beginning, when President Warren of the Chicago Bears was flexing his muscles and J.B. Pritzker said, you know, being strong-armed, but you know, the Bears walked out and expected the red carpet to be rolled out for them. And, you know, what I said from the very beginning, and this is just me talking like a Chicagoan, I was like, bro, J.B. Pritzker is a billionaire. And he's looking at the Bears, right? They're having real billionaire conversations. He's looking at the Bears and he's like, bro, I'm a billionaire too. You're not going to tell me what you need or like, you can't lie to me. Lie, you know, if you're a billionaire and you're trying to lie to the people that are broke, that's one thing. But I'm a billionaire. I know you should have billions too. And here's the thing with J.B. Pritzker and the Bears. This isn't just politics, right? This is just billionaire math. I've been trying to say it for as long as possible. Pritzker is not some career legislator who grew up on the inside of a committee room. That's not what he is. He's a Hyatt heir and an investment guy. His family, they built Hyatt into a global hotel giant, and JB's been on the builder side of that for plenty of years. So again, he understands a family business that's generated dollars. So when the Chicago Bears, another billionaire operation, walks into Springfield and says, hey, help us make the numbers work, Pritzker's instinct is, I mean, it's not an emotional one, and it's not fan base. It's, okay, you show me the return. You show me the risk. Show me who's he said this 10 times, right? I don't want to be stuck, or he's heard Cam Buckner mention that. Representative Cam Buckner said, I don't want to be the one holding the bag if this goes sideways, which is how Representative Buckner feels about the renovation project that the Bears still owe $500 million to. But J.B. Pritzker feels that way because he knows exactly how those mega deals get sold, right? Where there's big promises up front, then what happens years later? The public's still paying for it, right? And that's why he's not budging. Not because he hates the Bears, but he's a businessman. He's looking at it through a completely different lens than the majority of us look at it. He's looking at a private franchise, which he said several times over, looking for public funds, and whether that's tax certainty or exemptions, whatever it is. Again, he's thinking like a guy who has been in the negotiation rooms. And he even said it. He just said it. I've been in a ton of business negotiation, business deals. I've been in these rooms before. So if you're a billion-dollar brand like the Chicago Bears, you should act like it. Build it, finance it. Don't come to taxpayers wanting some sort of handout. And I get it. If I were to see somebody that like was in my same position and they were crying for something, I'd be like, yo, get it out the mud. Like, what are you talking about? Like, work on it.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Forbes has J.B. Pritzker right around the $3.9 billion range. So that's literally billionaire to billionaire conversation. That's like what you're talking about.
One of the topics on the show I ran the other night was Bears fans are getting stadium fatigue.
Yes.
Due to talking about all this. And then a caller brought up a great point. He's like, I'm not so sure if I have stadium fatigue. I have billionaire fatigue.
Mm.
And I was like, oof.
That's just it, right? The difference is that, you know, one billionaire wants to win football games and the other billionaire wants to balance the state budget. And they have two different priorities, and that's where we're at right now. And, you know, the governor said it. I'm not writing a blank check. I'm not in the business of writing blank checks.
It's basically just flexing egos against flexing egos.
And I get it. But I got to be honest. I know a lot of people are down on a J.B. Pritzker. And if you were to put, you know, all politics aside, like your political views, and you just in a funnel look at what's happening with the Chicago Bears, I'm glad that I have a billionaire governor that isn't budging and doesn't feel the pressure in the way maybe somebody else would. And again, I want you to give the Bears what they want to a certain degree. And when you're like, well, Gabe, it's just, you know, why not just give the Bears? It's the Bears. Well, because I think the Bears morally should want to put themselves in a position where they're doing right by the state of Illinois as well. Right? Because that's what the negotiation is, finding common ground. So if state legislature and the constituents are like, hey, bro, just, you know, don't take advantage of us. The Bears, where most stadium deals, like Indiana, where you're allowed to take advantage of the taxpayers, they just don't want that to happen here. And I think that should be fine. This is a Bears organization that has benefited off of Illinois and Chicago for 100 years. So what? There's no reinvestment in the community? I think Cam Buckner, and you'll hear it in Representative Cam Buckner here in a little bit, talked about, you know, the city of Cleveland got $100 million from their owner when they left the lakefront. $100 million. Why? And it's not about the number. The number is arbitrary, but it's about letting people know, like, hey, yeah, you benefited from us. Now put back in the kitty so that way you can go do your thing. You're still going to benefit from us, but you left a hole here.
Forgot about the Browns, another team with a new stadium.
Yeah.
A lot of money funded by the owner.
I mean, this is what we're talking about here. So a lot of room, a lot of movements, a lot of stuff going on. How long is the Cam Buckner thing?
11 and a half minutes.
Oh, it's perfect timing for right now. Perfect timing, baby T. So David Haw has had a hodgepodge of co-hosts over the last couple of weeks, including myself. You heard Angelo talking about it. Ruthie Polinsky, Cassie Carlson, Clay Harbor. And on Monday, he had Zach Zabin. Today, he has Zach Zabin as well. But yesterday was Clay Harbor, who we were together today at CHSN. He was doing the Big Pro Football Show. I was doing the Chicago Lead. And it was so funny because he's like, damn, man, you know, you got to study up on all this stuff. You know, it's not just the Big Pro Football Show where you just got to talk Bears. He's like, I had to be looking up, you know, how to ask questions to Cam Buckner, I had to look up the Cubs. And I always had this joke when I used to do morning radio on the pop station. You know, people would be like, oh, it's so easy to just talk on the radio. And I'd be like, yo, your first day on the radio, you kill it. All your jokes. The best one-liners you got. It's funny. It's all funny. It's all new stuff.
Wait, really?
But then I said, how about day three, though? Day three, when all your jokes have already ran through the ringer, you got nothing else to say. Now you got to come up with new stuff. You got to be innovative. That's the difficult part about radio. And Clay was talking about how, and just his second day, he felt that way. Where he felt the first day with David Haw, which was Wednesday, you know, he... first day on the show, you just got takes. He's like, but then you got to go do it back to back. And that's when it is difficult. And that's where you got to understand where your radio talent, that your favorite radio personalities that you love, coming on here every single day, especially talk radio, and having to go hard for that long a period of time with new topics and find new ways to reinvent. That is the difficult part of this. Well, Clay and David Haw had the opportunity to talk to State Representative Cam Buckner, who introduced the bill that did pass today on the committee floor 13-7, now made its way onto the House. So what did that sound like, and what did it take to get to that point? Here is State Representative Cam Buckner with Mully and Haw.
Good morning, Cam. How are you?
Good morning, Dave, Cole. I'm great. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Great.
Really appreciate the time. We know you. It is at a premium because you have things to do. It could be a busy day. Let's start there. From what we know, Illinois House Bill 910 filed last evening by you is scheduled for a committee hearing at 10 o'clock. So within the hour, where do things stand now? And is it fair to say there is some momentum behind the bill?
Yeah, we're definitely an hour away from a hearing in the House Revenue and Finance Committee. And look, I'll be honest, y'all, we've made real progress. We've had some great conversations over the last few weeks about what the Bears' future should look like. Obviously, we believe it should be here in the state of Illinois, and I've been charged with trying to help that happen. And so, you know, we have said from the beginning that we have to put together a framework that makes sense, that we're not in the blank check business, but this bill being heard today is actually the opposite of a blank check. It's the first step in a checks and balances process that forces clarity, talks about who pays for what the public gets, and what the guardrails are to protect taxpayers. And so stadium deals take some time. They're complicated. This is not my first one. And I think that we're going to get to where we need to go.
Like to hear that, Cam, but my question is, what's changed since that earlier stall? Like, why didn't this get done sooner? Was the holdup speaker priorities, local government concerns, the optics of helping a billionaire? Or did it just take Indiana coming to the table to really light a fire for Illinois to get this thing going?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. A couple of things. One, you know, when we're down here in Springfield, there are a lot of things we're working on all at once. I think that we should be able to walk and chew bubble gum and be able to handle public safety and infrastructure and the environment, but also to be able to help and have conversations about businesses here in the state. But the truth of the matter also is that, you know, the Bears switched course a few times in this conversation. You know, we had two or three public pivots about Chicago or Arlington Heights, and then Indiana. And so while the Indiana announcement, I think, did change the complexion of the conversation to a certain extent, we had to be able to see what the lay of the land was and figure out how to move forward. Once again, I know for Bears fans and for folks who care about this, this feels like it's taken forever. But honestly, it is really the speed that these deals usually take when you go through them with a fine-tooth comb.
We're talking with State Representative Cam Buckner here on The Score, and he is in Springfield ready to move along House Bill 910. So you're the perfect person to explain this. You talk about the pilot legislation. Well, pilot is payments in lieu of taxes. So when you talk about special payments, what has changed? And could you explain, from what I understand, from what I gauge from the reports so far, Cam, is that the tweaked bill would allow a 20-year property tax assessment freeze for mega projects like a new stadium in Arlington Heights. It also would require the Bears, in this case, to make a special payment to local governments as a result. Could you explain the details and the genesis of that addition to the bill?
Yeah, so this is a way for municipalities, and this is, you know, we're talking about the Bears. This is something that's going to be used across the state for companies throughout state of Illinois. But what the tool does is it allows a municipality and a company to negotiate a predictable payment arrangement for the biggest projects that exist here in the state, while also putting schools and other taxing districts in the room and making the process public, right? So it gives them the ability to freeze, but to also to create an incentive agreement that comes with a special payment so that, once again, the schools, the infrastructure, police and fire, those things that really thrive off of having those property taxes in the system don't get left holding the bag, right? So this is a responsible tool that can be used across the state to make sure that we have a streamlined process for not just situations like the Bears, but for, you know, maybe a battery manufacturer or Quantum Hub who wants to come to a city in Illinois and needs some help to make that happen.
What happens today if Illinois doesn't pass the tax certainty? Do you think that would mean that Illinois effectively loses the Bears, or is there still a discussion to be had?
tell you guys this. I don't know. The Bears are a private company. They're a private entity. They have the ability and the right and the obligation, frankly, to do what they need to do for their shareholders and their board and the people who make those decisions in that organization. What we are charged with doing as the state government is doing all we can to make sure that we can keep an iconic Illinois organization here in the state. This thing has had a lot of twists and turns, guys, and you all know that better than anybody. You know, and so our hope is that we can make it very clear to the organization that we are prepared to move in the right direction and that we have what it takes to remain the home of this organization.
The over $500 million in debt that remains from the Soldier Field renovations in 2003, how has that been addressed, and how is it addressed in this latest bill and the tweaks to that? And how would you describe the tenor of those conversations?
Debbie, you know I'm a Chicagoan. I live in the city. I represent the city. It's important for me to make sure that Chicago is not left holding the bag in this conversation. And so that is not actually part of this bill. Once again, this is blanket pilot legislation that will work for companies throughout the state. But as you can imagine, I have been on the grindstone making sure that we are doing the things that are important for Chicago. The Soldier Field renovation of 2001 is one where, once again, we're still left holding the bag, and that's not okay, right? And so we got to find a way to deal with the sins of the past, but also to create some framework for the future. I also, if I can jump real quick and say, you know, I think when we look at this whole thing, I know people are frustrated at how long it has taken. You know, I just want to remind folks that buying the land in Arlington Heights for probably $100 million more than it was worth without having a plan is not really the right way that this should have happened, right? We kind of got here because of that. In football terms, that's like spending a first-round pick on a defensive tackle without watching his film or knowing the scheme fit, right? That's like you don't draft Cam Buckner without doing your due diligence, and then you get mad that he's not explosive enough to be a three technique and he bites on misdirections and traps, right? That's not bad luck. That's a bad process. And so we should call that what it is and then figure out how to move forward.
Cam, now you got me thinking. I want to go back and see this 2007 scouting combine reports on your first step.
Hey, high character, low ceiling.
All right, let's go back to the what's on tap today. So reports leading up to today, and I know you'll give us as candid of an answer as you can, that there was a Chicago problem with this bill. And we know that you represent Chicago proudly and staunchly. And I just wonder what that could have been referring to and what that might be implying. And is there still a, quote, Chicago problem with this bill?
I think what people are saying when they use the word Chicago problem is that you've got 34 legislators in the state house, and I think 16 or 14 in the state Senate who their home addresses are in the city of Chicago, Illinois. And it was difficult to have that many folks who are this important to the process, ride a ticket to help an iconic franchise leave their city. Right. And so what we've said from the beginning is that Chicago has to be made whole. This cannot be done on the backs of Chicago, and that there needs to be a plan in place for the city to be able to, you know, both from a financial standpoint, but also just from a civic pride standpoint, to be able to move forward. I'll remind you all, just a few weeks ago, my friend Justin Bibb, the mayor of Cleveland, Ohio, got the Haslam family to pony up $100 million for them leaving their lakefront, right? So it's not just about money, but it has to be a package that makes sense for the people of Chicago. And I think that's what people are talking about when they talk about the quote unquote Chicago problem.
So we know your job is to protect the Illinois taxpayers. What's one non-negotiable that you wouldn't budge on?
Well, I think we've been very clear about not actually spending money on the stadium, right? And when the Bears first came to us with their plan, I think it still required $1 billion in not infrastructure, but $1 billion in actual stadium construction costs from the state of Illinois. And we've pushed back on that. We need to turn the corner in this state and really across the country, where the people are not on the hook for actually building stadiums that they don't, frankly, most of them never get a chance to enjoy. And so infrastructure is fine. We could talk about the things that come from an ancillary standpoint, but I think the actual building of a stadium where you got PSLs and luxury suites and things that make owners rich but don't give back to the people, we can't do that. I think it's time now for that.
All right, before we let you go, we know your time is precious and you got places to be. But I just want to make sure that all these details are accurate based on what we know now. Number one, that as far as the calendar goes, after today, you adjourn for a break until March 18th. Is that create a sense of urgency to get things done by the end of business today? And secondly, is there anything about this bill that has that we should know that has yet to be reported?
No, so you're correct on the calendar. We are, once we adjourn today, whatever time that gavel hits the podium, we are done into March 18th. And, you know, we continue to work through the break period. But, you know, this bill is pretty cut and dry. I think it shows some real progress. It does what the Bears have said that they need in this space. And it also creates some streamlined and baseline procedures for us to be able to move forward. As I said, the conversations have been good. They've been better in the last few weeks than they've been in the last few years. And I've been here since the beginning of those talks, and I think that we are moving in a positive direction. And I believe that if you talk to anyone from Howard's Hall, they probably feel the same way.
Have they been involved to the degree that has been satisfying for legislators? Have the Bears been as big of a part of this as you would hope them to be?
I told somebody recently, I said, I've spoken with the Bears more this week than my wife as I've been down here in Springfield, which I think is a indicator that we're going in the right direction. They have been involved. We still have things that we have to sort out and things that we don't necessarily agree on, but this is part of the process. It's part of the negotiation. And once again, I choose to believe that we'll find a way to get there.
Cam, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck today. Look forward to talking to you
again soon.
Appreciate
it, Cam.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
State Representative Cam Buckner joining Mully and Haw. It was David Haw and Clay Harbor filling in right there. So the question is, if you're running the Bears, what's the first thing you'd want to change to prove you're serious about winning? All right? I mean, this is what's in front of you. You want a new stadium. There are limits to take, but there's so many questions surrounding this team. So again, phone lines are open. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. 312-644-6767. What's still frustrating you about this stadium saga? You know, what are your last thoughts? I know you probably got them out already, but we can also talk about this Chicago Bears team. Got the combine happening right now. Obviously, 25th pick in the draft. Curious your thoughts about this team and whether or not the defense is going to be right. Phone lines are open for you. This is what we're doing at 2 in the morning right here. 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
As the U.S. Men's National Team takes center stage at a Home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.